This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, good morning. Welcome to The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. How are you this morning, Charlie Dobbin?
Welcome back, Dean Holland. Where have you been? Where have you been, in Hawaii or something?
Wouldn't that be nice? I would love that.
I know. You've been busy. You're just got so many jobs.
Well, spring is out. Yeah, spring is a busy time for me with all sorts of extra little entertainment-based contracting things that I've done for a number of years. And so, yeah, but I missed you. Missed you.
Gig worker that you are. And I'd like to say I missed you, but it was a pretty busy show last week.
Good.
So, I mean, I had to do the numbers and go to break, but otherwise it went okay.
Well, I am here to do all of that for you this week.
Do the heavy lifting.
And you know what? Why don't I give out the numbers right now? Let's get an early jump on that. And I know you have tons of announcements to make because 'tis the season. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we would love for you to give us a call. If you have any gardening question, it could be an indoor gardening question, an outdoor gardening question, a transplanting question. It could be a compost question, whatever you want. Okay. If you live in Toronto, here's the number, 416-360-0740. But if you live anywhere outside Toronto, but still within the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. And please do let our producer Owen know if you are a first-time caller, because then he'll let me know, and then I will give you the garden wings. And our mantra has not changed over the years. It's always the same. Call often. Call early. That's an important one. And here's the most important one. One question per call, please. Especially, you know, during these busy times of the year when we have to we have so many callers typically when the phones are already ringing, you know. And so if you have a second question, you hang up, you call again. Okay. There you go.
And we want to nominate Jean, who lives in Newmarket, as our number one best mantra follower.
Beautiful.
she even last week called twice, right?
Oh,
so
nice.
She asks her one question and off she goes.
Hangs up the phone.
Yeah. And
I think she does that actually so that she can speak to Owen again. I think that's what it is.
Maybe.
I think
never know. And you know what? Last week, Owen had to do the chimes because I just didn't have chimes ready.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You should have seen Owen and I. We were, balls in the air.
Like jugglers.
Totally. Anyway, this week we're all so smooth. Everybody's got their jobs. A couple of important announcements, like so much going on, starting with, let's see, Monday, May the 12th. So a couple of days. Monday, May the 12th, Agent Court Garden Club will be hosting, of course, one of their meetings. Everyone is welcome to learn from member John Pugh. He will be speaking on unusual vegetables that he grows to win awards.
Mm.
Sounds like the Royal Fair, right? The crazy big stuff. There'll be a flower show as well, because again, we're at that time of year where the different hort societies have competitions. And of course, with the competitions, you're going for ribbons, and it is cutthroat. Trust me. That's like, people are just like, you know, out in their gardens at midnight, plumping and poofing their plants and their flowers to make them perfect for a show. It's crazy. It's lovely. Anyway, they meet at the Knox United Christian Education Center, which is at 2575 Midland Avenue at Shepherd. That's Agent Court. The Burlington Hort Society will be meeting on May the 14th, and they'll be having a plant sale on May the 24th. So put that in your calendar. They meet at the presenter is David Wood. He's talking about attracting birds to your garden, 6:30 p.m. at the Burlington Senior Center, 2285 New Street in Burlington. The plant sale, of course, is at the North Burlington Baptist Church. And for more information, go to burlingtonhs.com. This Thursday, May the 15th, Milnhouse Garden Club will be holding their major flower show. So you want to see stratospherically amazing flower displays, specimens, and designs, head over to the Toronto Botanical Gardens on Thursday, May 15th, between 1 and 4 p.m. in the Floral Hall, and you will have your socks blown off.
Ooh. So this is something you've done on a number of occasions.
Oh, yes. I've visited, definitely, and been, yes, just awesome. Yes.
I don't often hear you say, like, you know, I mean, we talk about a lot of things, but for it to be a blow your socks off thing, it must be mighty impressive.
Well, it is, because, I mean, these people are not professional florists. These are just people who love and study and practice some of these arts. I mean, there's the art and the science, obviously, but the art of putting together flowers and foliage and other things into designs you can't even imagine where they came from. Like, how did they do that? So the theme this year is floral artistry. So, you know, that's going to, of course, take it all up a notch as well. Just quickly, two more. The Japanese Canadian Center. So tomorrow, Mother's Day, for something to do, if you're not out in the garden and you want to go to the 50th annual Ikebana Show, that's at the Japanese Canadian Center, 1 to 5 p.m., 6 Sakura Way in Toronto. There is a $10 admission. You can have tea in the tea room, and you can get involved learning more about Ikebana, speaking of floral design, and there will be mini arrangements for sale. And next Saturday, 1 week from today, the Brampton Hort Society is holding their plant sale. That is from 9 to 1 p.m. at the Brampton Curling Club, 46 McMurtry Avenue. And that's it.
That's it. That's crazy. Okay. You know what? So here's what's kind of fun. You know, because of course the length of our show has changed a little bit, because we used to have news at the top of the hour. We don't now. So we can actually do something that we've actually rarely, if ever, been able to do on the show. And that is, even before the first break, we can take a caller because we have time.
Amazing. Eh?
So we're going to do that right now. We're going to start, because I've already got like four on the line. Great. And, you know, thus the mantra, call off, call early. Okay. So let's go right now to our first caller. We have Judy on the line from Puss Lynch. Welcome to the Garden Show, Judy.
Thank you.
Hey, morning.
Yeah. Good morning. Happy Saturday. And what do you got for Charlie there?
I wanted to talk about mulch because I'm going to order a dump truck load of mulch and to put around. I have a load of cedar trees and a big string of fir trees and then a lot of other garden things. And a friend of mine said, oh, no, I shouldn't be putting mulch under my trees because it'll encourage bad things to happen. And I wondered if there was anything to that. And there's different types of mulch, which maybe should be best.
Excellent questions. All right. I'd love to know what your friend was alluding to when she said bad things can happen when you put mulch under trees. Okay. The only bad things I could think that would happen is that sometimes over the winter, little critters will nest in mulch because it does provide a certain amount of warmth or shelter or whatever you want to call it. So that's maybe a bad thing. But at this time of year, there's no downsides to mulch as far as I know. Now, make sure your soil, you're thawed, you know, things are warming up. We don't want to get mulch on too early in the season, because if the soil is still very cold, left over from winter, then the mulch will trap the cold in the soil. And of course, we don't want that. We want our soil to warm up, because the warmer the soil, the faster the growth of any of our plants, you know, lawns, trees, shrubs, flowers, any of it. So that's the one thing about mulch is I tend to hold off in the spring, you know, for a couple of weeks still. Like, wait if you can until June. But, you know, if you got to do it, you got to do it. Different kinds of mulch, good question. Okay, so this to some extent depends on what's available in your area. Also, what is the kind of quality of your soil. Any of the bark mulches are organic and will eventually break down and add great organic material to your garden. So that's a very big upside to putting wood chips on our garden.
Lynch. So we're gravel.
There you go. You totally need mulch. You need about 4 inches of mulch. Because, you know, when we lay mulch on our gardens, it's a 2 to 4 inch layer. So that's a 5 to 10 centimeters of mulch. So do your math, you know, get a rough area idea of your square footage of what you want to cover. And then, of course, multiply. If you're going to do as much as 1/4 inch, multiply, or, you know, by 0.3 3, and then you'll get your cubic and then get it into yards. And bottom line is, I'm doing the same thing. I'm ordering in 12 yards.
Every year?
I do it every year because I have a lot of gardens and I can't do it. And it decomposes, the wood disappears. So I do want to always have that layer as we get into hot summer dry summer where I live in Prince Edward County. I need mulch. And before winter, of course, I get into serious wind where the soil will blow away if I don't have mulch. Even the mulch blows away, trust me. I use pine bark mulch. I like pine bark because it does decompose fairly rapidly and it does lower my pH because I live on limestone. You will find mixed mulches out there. You'll also find cedar mulch. I avoid straight cedar because straight cedar, it doesn't wet very well. When it gets dry and then it rains, the water just beads on the top of the dry mulch it ends up with a layer that is hydrophobic.
Should you pull all the weeds out first or can you just put it on top of the weeds?
Weeds come out first. This is the time of year, people. Get on your weeds now. You will regret it if you don't do it now. The ground is nice and soft. You got nothing else to do. You can't be doing a lot of planting. Hold off in your mulch. Get down there. Get those weeds out. It's weed time.
Okay. Sweet. Okay. Thank you very much for the question, Judy. Yeah, we have to run to our first break, but we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. And Charlie, I have to say something. Before I forget,
okay.
Happy Mother's Day, because tomorrow is Mother's Day, and we won't be here tomorrow, of course, you know. No, and to all the mothers listening,
and all the people that care for people, right? That's what mothering is all about. So, Happy Mother's Day to you too.
Happy Mother's Day,
because I know you do a lot of caregiving and to Gail, of course, too. The family.
But I just wanted to make sure that I said that because I know you're a mother of two. So
I am. I don't think they know it's Mother's Day, but whatever.
I'm sure they do.
Whatever.
Yeah. And so all the moms out there on behalf of all of us here at Zoomer Radio, happy Mother's Day to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, before we go to the call, we should mention that 2 weeks from now, we will be in studio because that is the Doors Open weekend in Toronto. Really, and every year, that is certainly one of the weekends that we are in studio. So we'll both be down there 2 Saturdays from now doing the show right from Zoomerplex. And then right after that that show is done, the doors literally open and we start getting tours through Zoomerplex.
The hordes. Yeah. Right through the Zoomerplex. And there's so much at the Zoomerplex besides just the radio studios. Yeah. There's television studios. There's an incredible television museum. So if you love televisions, you got to see Marilyn Monroe's and the first ever. And oh my gosh, it's just crazy. The collection that Moses Neimer has put together in this beautiful museum.
There will be people, radio personalities and staff down there both Saturday and Sunday. You and I are down there on Saturday.
Yes,
but
you're there.
24th and 25th is Doors Open weekend.
And I think you'll be volunteering. You'll be conducting some tours, won't you?
I will. Yeah, I'll be in the both the Zoomer studios, and I'll be spending some time in the classical studios as well because I broadcast on Sister Station as well. So yeah, I'll be doing both sides. Yeah,
and we can hope it's as beautiful a day next Saturday in Toronto as it is at my house right now in Prince Edward County.
Yes.
You can't get a more picture perfect day. Blue sky, not a cloud, nice balmy air. Things are warming right up. We are supposedly getting up to 20 degrees today.
I'll take it.
Boy, do I have a list. I've just been knocking things off my list, but every time I knock one thing on, I add one more thing when it comes to the stuff to do in the garden. Weeding being one that is ongoing. That's not even on my list. It's just ongoing.
Ongoing. You got it. Okay, well, I think we have the same weather here in Collingwood. And let's find out if they got the same weather in Gravenhurst, because that's where our next caller is from. Great. We have Sharon on the line from Gravenhurst. Welcome to The Garden Show, Sharon.
Yes, good morning. Yes, we have beautiful weather as well.
Sweet. Yep. Nice.
Lovely.
Enjoying it.
I love it. Yeah.
Okay. What do you got for Sharon or for Charlie there, Sharon?
I want to know if I can grow clematis, whatever, in a pot on my deck. And it's full sun. It gets quite hot. I know they don't like it, but could I cover the roots with some mulch or something?
What size pot are we talking?
Probably, it'd be about a 20-inch.
Okay. So, and you'd have like some kind of something for it to grow on, like a trellis or something inserted into the pot.
Well, what I want to do is go around the railing of the deck.
Oh, I see. So you want to train it on the railing.
Yeah, I did it with Morning Glories, so.
Right. So, and Morning Glory is a good example and a good choice, particularly if it's very sunny. They grow very quickly. It's an annual plant, so there's no worries about overwintering. Stick some seeds in the ground or into your pot. And, you know, Bob's your uncle, as we say, sweet peas would also be a very good choice. They love the sun and they'll flower and be fragrant and all that important stuff. I don't think clematis is your best choice. I mean, it's a beautiful plant, but until it's established, which does take a number of years, it doesn't grow 10 feet in its first year. It might grow 2 or 3 or 4 feet. So you're not going to get that big show for a couple of years. But you also live in Gravenhurst. So that plant, that clematis in that pot may not survive over winter sitting on your deck. And to bury a 20-inch pot is a pretty big job over the winter to then bring it back up in the spring. And again, I don't think you're ever going to see that big, you know, massive growth out of a pot the way you would in the ground.
Okay. I just want something, you know, that is fragrant. I have done sweet peas. I didn't find them very fragrant, but anyway, they did grow pretty well.
Scarlet runner beans can be a good choice. They grow very quickly. You get red flowers, which will attract hummingbirds, and then you do get beans. And they're, you know, 15, 20 feet of growth all in one short season. So those are all annuals. Anything perennial coming to mind? Something tough. There's something called silver lace vine. Silver lace vine, not particularly fragrant, but it would grow, probably survive, and gives you beautiful white flowers late in the season. Or the other thing is, go with one of the really tough clematis. I'm gonna remember the name. It's the one with little yellow flowers that is a like the wild type of clematis. So it grows very quickly, and it might work. Mm-hmm. It's yellow. Yeah, I wouldn't be doing any of the fancy, you know, Jack Manny's or any of that. Those are zone 5 plants, and you're gardening and on the edge of zone, probably 4 or 5.
Right, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
All right, let me see.
Thank you very much for the help. I appreciate it. And again, happy Mother's Day.
And you too.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Sharon.
Bye.
Okay, before we go to our next break, the numbers to call once again, because we do have room on the lines. We have some people in line, but we do have room. 416-360-0740 is the Toronto number, and outside Toronto, 1-866-740-4740. We will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yeah, we're back with The Garden Show, and you can tell it's spring, blue skies, warmer temperatures, and not one amaryllis question in sight.
Hey, just to quickly go back to Sharon's question about clematis. So I mentioned yellow. The one I'm thinking of, Sharon, is called Tangutica. So T-A-N-G as in Gordon. U-T-I-C-A. I think of that one because it's very, very vigorous and very tough. However, looking it up quickly, it is considered in Alberta an invasive plant. It does seed itself. It can take over your entire property just through seeds, but it is very vigorous, very tough, hard to kill. It's just maybe not the best
choice. So it can actually take over the back deck and it can envelop everybody.
Exactly. So you will have your rails covered. You will have achieved that. You may not be happy with the what else gets covered, you know, stepping out to looking for the bench.
Okay, good. Well, it's important to know that stuff, right? I mean,
it is.
I don't think we paid as much attention to those types of things years ago. And then now, you know,
No.
It's important to know if something is invasive, you know, because it can cause a lot of problems.
But you see, that's the funny thing about like invasive too is like we call it vigorous or we call it invasive, right?
Right.
Sometimes it's like, but I have nothing grows here, nothing grows here. Okay, so I'll put in this invasive vigorous plant and it'll grow there. That's where the goat weed came from, which grows anywhere and fills up any blank spots. It's even part of the issue with periwinkle, and then it goes wild into the woods and into the bushes and the country. And before you know it, these invasive vigorous plants are crowding out the native, you know, the little trilliums in the spring, and the periwinkle is growing right over top of them. Hmm. So yeah, that's part of why we're concerned, is we're trying to protect and you know, preserve the native and the special.
Indeed. Okie dokie. Let's go to our next caller. We have Diane on the line from Dorchester. Welcome to the Garden Show, Diane.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And again, happy Mother's Day to Charlie and all the listeners. I live in Dorchester. We have sandy soil. I've always had mulch in all of my flower beds, and I have found it to be a pain in the neck. because I was letting the leaves go on the mulch, but then in the spring, I have to hand pick all the leaves off. So as an alternative, I removed all the mulch 2 years ago. And anyway, what I was thinking, because it needs something to add moisture to my soil, but and also to fertilize, would sheep manure be good, especially when I have a lot of hostas?
For sure. I mean, particularly on sandy soil. Remember, all soils benefit with the addition of organic matter. So if it's a sandy soil, you don't have a lot of nutrient, and you also have a very fast, well-drained soil. And sheep manure, which is 100% organic, will hold moisture and add nutrient. So that's a huge bonus, totally improves the growing conditions for any of your plants. And if it's a clay soil, you know, a slow-draining soil, one that holds too much moisture, we typically have no shortage of nutrient, but we have too much water for too long. And again, the chunky organic material and the worms will mix it all in for you is something that will break up that slow-draining soil. So absolutely, sheep manure is a great idea.
Should I wait then, like you're telling the other listener, the other caller?
No,
until it warms up just a little bit, because it's only 7 degrees here right now.
Yeah, that's fine. No, but putting manure on the surface of your soil in the spring is the best time. You don't need to mix it in. It will, obviously, the sun is beating down and will get warmed up anyway. But it's like your hostas, the leaves haven't really emerged yet. So it's the perfect time. You can see exactly what you're doing. You know, with a shovel, you're just shoveling in and around the plants, smoothing it out so it's level, and walking away. The trick with mulch is that it really sets like a layer over the soil, and like I said, slows down the warming. The manure will actually speed up the warming just because of the life that's in the manure.
And for your listeners, I took your advice in the fall. I used the sheep manure on the rhubarb, which was pretty well non-existent, and it's just flourished. So
there you go.
You've got to write a book, because I can't remember everything. I've got a book a friend gave me. I add points in there, and then I have these numerous notes that do every week. I jot it down so I won't forget.
So. Like a journal. Good idea. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for that.
Thanks very much for the call, Diane.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay.
And that's the magic of manure.
Yes, I was going to say sheep manure, never a bad choice.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, had to do that. We have a first-time caller on the line. I have it on good authority from our producer, Owen. Marilla, who's calling from Vaughan. Welcome to the Garden Show, Marilla.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
I would love to give you your garden wings, okay? We do that to all our first callers.
Yep.
There you go. Welcome to the Garden Show.
Morning.
Good morning. My question this morning is about my 35-year-old red Japanese maple.
Mm-hmm.
And I never know when it's the right time to trim it. In the past, my dad used to do it. He's no longer with us. So it's getting really big all the way up to my second floor.
Oh, boy. Okay, so it's an upright red Japanese maple. Yes. Oh, it's probably very beautiful.
Yes.
Okay, All
and
me.
Near we my avoid... walkway, past my walkway, like closer mm-hmm. to the entrance of the door, in that area there.
Yeah. So we try to avoid doing any major pruning to maples in the spring because they tend to drip. They are very sappy in the spring. That's why maple syrup is so, you know, accessible in the spring. So typically what we do now when it comes to maples is we trim anything that's dead, anything that's clearly diseased, or anything that is crisscrossing, damaging, and damaged itself. So that you can do any time of year. Now is a perfect time because there's no leaves and you can see what you're doing. You can clearly see dead versus live. You can see where the buds are going to come and, you know, the dead is...
Well, started having leaves already. They're really tiny, but...
Of course, but yeah, they're just starting. So where there are no leaves, it's you've got dead stuff. So you can take out where there are no leaves, clearly on a dry day, sharp pruners. But when it comes to a proper pruning, because I'm pretty sure what you've got is called, my brain just went on hold. I'm pretty sure what you got is a classic red Japanese maple.
Yes.
They've been for sale in the industry for 30 years. And Blood Good is what it's called, Blood Good. And it's lovely, but it does need to be pruned properly. I would find yourself a certified arborist in the area. I'm sure you can find one and get that person to come in and do a proper cleaning, pruning, shaping job midsummer, you know, like June, late June, maybe, if you can. And that's, you're good for a couple of years if somebody comes and does a proper job. If you just want to hack away at it, then do it then. But I'd certainly recommend that it be done properly because a 35-year-old, healthy, happy, beautiful Japanese maple is adding huge value to your house.
Oh, thank you.
Financially.
Yeah.
And so if you were to sell your house today, you're going to get an extra, you know, $20,000 for your house because of that beautiful tree.
Start
hacking at it and messing around with it and pruning it poorly, and suddenly that value drops right off. So just, you know, value your trees, recognize that those, you know, ornamental trees are really contributing to the value of your residence, and hire the professionals.
Good to know. So we can do a little bit of trimming now, late June.
And okay, then, so a little bit, what you do now is anything dead? Late June, yes. Late June, you can do whatever needs to be done. Never removing more than a third of the plant at any one time. But at that point, yes, you can trim as necessary for form and function.
Right.
Okay.
And more pruning should be done in the fall, I believe you said. Did you say
No, you don't need to do any pruning in the fall. Just do it in late spring, early summer, or fall, whatever works. But don't hack away at it every 2 months. Once a year.
Once a year. Yes, of course. Okay.
Thanks very much, Marella. And don't be a stranger. Make sure you give us a call again, okay?
Now that I got through.
You got it. Yeah.
Don't be a stranger.
Anyway. Okay.
Hey, just to mention for people that might be listening and hearing me yammer on about professionals, LandscapeOntario.com. That's a website, LandscapeOntario.com. It is full of thousands of member companies. It's a trade organization of professionals, landscape professionals. You put in your postal code. First, you choose what you want. I want an arborist. I want snow removal. Mm-hmm. I want lawn care. Put in your postal code, and it will give you members who are professional members of Landscape Ontario that service your area.
Okay. Yeah, sounds great.
Across the province.
Again, the numbers to call is 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. We are now going to John in Mississauga. Welcome to the Garden Show, John.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day.
There he is, John.
You're making Gene smile, I know, right now.
And me.
Look, you confuse me, guy. Charlie, first of all, my mama's tomatoes are 18 inches long.
What?
18 inches long. That's why I'm laughing.
Oh, okay. So tall, big.
Charlie, when I plant the tomatoes, I use Epsom salt.
Sure.
I make a trench and I put some Epsom salt at the bottom and some manure. But unfortunately, the Epsom salt I bought this time, it says eucalyptus. Epsom salt with eucalyptus. Does it make a difference? Or shall I buy the regular one?
That's a good question. I have no idea. I've never heard of that before.
That's so almost like something you put in a bath with you.
Yeah.
Well, that's the question. Dean and Charlie, I've been using that for a long time.
For sure.
There is something about the Epsom salt that gives it a little, apparently, sweeter taste.
Right.
Okay. And we plant 33 plants of tomatoes. But that's what I want your opinion. So obviously, I think I'd go on by the regular, don't you think?
Yes, because your Epsom salts is magic. We know that. A hard day in the garden, a cup of Epsom salts in your hot bath and you're feeling way better. You have a lame horse. You do a poultice with Epsom salts. You're planting. Yeah. Pull out the Epsom salts. They're amazing. So what is it? It's magnesium and sulfate. Both essential nutrients, magic for plants, but do not get flavored or any additives. I think that, what you bought is for your bath tonight after the garden. Just get plain Epsom salts for the garden.
Yeah. Okay. Well, not only for my bath, Charlie, I already took a leave this morning because I'm going to have a busy day today.
There you go. I hear you. Me too.
Okay. So I'll go and buy the regular one, Charlie.
Yes.
And again, the best mother's ever. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, John.
Yeah, thanks, John. Nice to hear from you. Okay, let's dive right into our next caller. We have Maureen, and she's calling from North York. Welcome to the Garden Show, Maureen.
Good morning, Charlie and Dean. Happy Mother's
Morning
to Charlie and to your wife, Dean.
Thank you, Maureen.
I went to that wonderful Ontario Rock Garden sale last Sunday at the 12 Botanical Gardens. You advertised it, but I knew about it because I'm a member. And they had someone selling dwarf plants. Was I excited? Now, I got myself, it's called Little Twist Dwarf Flowering Cherry. And I want to know, A, could I put it in a container? And B, what would be the best conditions for, like how much sun and light it should have? I asked the people there, they told me that it should have a fair amount of sun. But
Only cherry should,
You know what, Maureen, I have to thank you. I really love when people ask questions that potentially stump Charlie Dobbin. I see the panic in her face, and Dean gets I'm overjoyed right now.
Thanks, Maureen. Appreciate it. It's such a specific question, Dean. Like, how could I possibly know everything about every cultivar? I mean, really?
Your check's in the mail, Maureen.
They had all kinds of dwarf plants, which I'm sure would puzzle. Dwarf pine trees, fir trees. As you said, it's a new thing, right? There was only one of the cherry, and my sister saw it. She says, Maureen.
How many people did you knock over to get it, Maureen?
I just interrupted one person who was already chatting to the fella, and I said,
"Grab that
just
plant."
A minute. I said, yes, and I just
excuse me. Pardon me. Pardon me. Move away.
this will become an actual tree, right? This is just a small tree, but how big is it right now?
It's about 18 inches high. Oh,
okay. So you need to find a sunny.
It's only that big and it's got flowers all over, pretty little pink and white flowers.
Wow.
That's sweet, beautiful. Well, okay, so why is this such a cool plant? Well, it is fairly small. The biggest it's ever going to get is about 6 or 7 feet tall. And it's eventually might get as much as 5 or 6 feet wide. But it's one of them, like a standard. So it's a single stem, should be a single stem, with branches at the top. You plant it should be good quality, well-drained, fertile soil, and full sun. So what's full sun? 6 hours or more of direct sunlight every day.
Okay.
You have room for that? I know you're quite the gardener, Maureen. Have you got room for that?
I would have room in the back, not in the front, but the front, I get this, well, I've told you this before, it faces west. and it gets a lot of sun, and it gets very hot. My back gets, my back gets about, depending on where I put it, I have areas of my back that get about 7 hours of sun.
Sounds good. I mean, and you're in a pretty, you know, reasonably good soil, obviously. So, I mean, the thing, the ornamental value of this plant is, as you're seeing now, beautiful, beautiful flowers, lots of flowers every spring. Of course, maybe ultimately some cherries, but you'll never get them. The birds will take them. But the branches grow in a zigzag fashion. That's why they call it Little Twist. Plus, you get a beautiful fall color. You get a burgundy fall color on the plant. So lovely flowers early spring, maybe a few cherries along the way, and of course, beautiful fall color and very interesting form all winter. So sounds like a perfect plant.
Okay. Well, I'm excited that it's going to turn burgundy in the fall. That's a real bonus.
Exactly. There you go.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Maureen. Thanks for the
call.
Happy
Mother's Day, Maureen.
Yeah. Sounds like an exciting, exciting tree. We have more callers on the line, but we do have to take a bit of a pause for some important and appreciated messages, and we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we are back here on The Garden Show, and it is the second weekend of May. Tomorrow is the second Sunday of May, which is Mother's Day. So if you're a mom, happy Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go to our next caller now. We have Donna on the line. Donna, you are a first-time caller, I believe, yes?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Donna from Ajax. There you go. There are your garden wings that we always give out to our first-time callers.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm not much of a gardener, but someone asked me an amaryllis, and the bulb is encased in wax, and it has bloomed now, and the blooms are all dead. Is there any way that I can make it bloom again?
Okay, so are there any leaves on it? What does it look like right now?
Pathetic.
Okay.
all right. The bloom. the blooms are wilted, like they're done.
Yeah, of course. There's
one great big tall green
leaf
stalk that they grew out of.
Okay.
There's a small green stalk that didn't do anything, and a bunch of brown stuff that looks like it's dead at the top of this waxed ball. I never had to water it.
No, I know. All right. So in an effort to try and make this plant continue to survive and flower in the future, because of course it's going to take another full year before it can flower. Right. What you have to do, it depends on your patience here. I would,
That's all I've got left is patience, Charlie.
Okay. All right. So you got to get that wax off, and there's probably a wire in the bottom of the bulb. They usually put a wire in so it'll sit flat. So you got to get the wire out. You got to get the wax off. Even if you don't get all the wax off, but you can get some. You carefully peel. I'm wondering, you don't want to do hot water because that'll hurt the bulb. You don't want to do the too cold, though. You could stick it in the fridge for 10 minutes just to cool that wax off, and then it might chip off more easily. So, and like I said, you don't have to get it all off, but you got to get most of the wax off. Then you get a pot. You get some fresh potting mix. You plant that bulb into the pot, into the soil, about half of the bulb under the soil, or two-thirds of the bulb under the soil, and the top, pointy top, sticking out of the soil. And water once, put it in the sunshine, sunny window, and wait, it will grow. Now, anything brown, like, you know, brown stuff, you can cut off. Anything green, leave it alone. If the green turns brown.
This is a year from now when I would do this.
No, this is all today.
Oh, I can do this today.
Yeah, yeah. If you're doing this to get it to flower in a year.
Okay. Because I thought I've heard you talk about them before, and you said you put them away in a dark place.
Right. We put them away in September.
Oh, okay.
Okay. For now, we grow them as green plants. So your job is to grow a plant that was not designed to grow some green leaves. The wax is just to make it easy for you. Most people will just compost those bulbs, but if you want to try, it's certainly worth a try.
Well, someone told me I'm done. Like, you throw it out. Like, and I live in an apartment, so there is no compost here.
Sure. Well, they are designed to be easy and expendable, but certainly if you want to try, just do what I'm suggesting there. Get some of the wax off, get it into some soil, and get it into the sun.
Okay.
Okey-doke.
Thank you very much.
Good luck on that. Thanks, Don. It's like the Karate Kid method. Wax on, wax off. Got to take it off. They've made it more complicated by putting the wax on there, right, Charlie? Because if you don't, if you have a regular one, it's much easier to just put it outside. You're going to let the photosynthesis do. Yeah. Not yet. Yeah. But the wax around there makes it a little bit more complicated.
But that's the thing. The wax, they're a perfect hostess gift. Yeah. When I'm invited to a party around Christmas time of any kind, that's what I take. I take a little waxed amaryllis. The hostess doesn't have to be a horticulturalist whatsoever. They just sit it on the counter and it blooms. They don't even have to water it. Yeah. Like, it doesn't get easier than that. But it's kind of mean because, yes, it's designed for one time only. It's like one time plastic bags. Well, that's a one time amaryllis bulb once they're waxed. But it's certainly worth a try.
Okay, let's try and squeeze in one more caller before our next break. We have Wilma on the line, and she's from Holstein, Ontario. Welcome to the Garden Show, Wilma.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Okay, what do you got there, Wilma?
I have a bush. It should probably be twice the size it is, but it's a nice size for my backyard. It's called a European spindle tree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I the other day I was out around it, and it has, I would say, fungus or moss growing on the branches. Some of it is fairly dead. I could chip it off just with my hand. But also I could see little tufts of fresh, new moss growing.
Hmm.
Is there anything I can do to control this?
It's been a while since I saw a spindle tree.
Yes, I had to go a long way to find another mate, but there is one in the Temple and Gardens in Fergus, apparently, and I went down to verify that's what mine was.
And that's what you found out. Yeah, I mean, they are, we're back to the invasive question, they are European, they're by no means native, so they have, you know, I'm just trying to think of what's growing on it right now.
I'll tell you what, you know, Charlie, we have to take a short break. So, Wilma, why don't you, keep listening, hang up. We're under break, and we'll give Charlie a minute to figure out what to do with your spindle tree, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Fabulous. Thanks. Thank you. Okay, we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Okay, welcome back to The Garden Show. Let's jump right into our next caller. We have Nancy on the line from Alderwood. Welcome to The Garden Show, Nancy.
Thank you.
Morning.
What do you got there, Nancy?
I bought some pansies, and I have them in little pots. I was wondering if I could keep them in the pots to grow, or do I have to put them in the soil?
No, you can keep them in pots, but I'd go probably into a bigger pot. What size pot are they in now?
Oh, maybe a 3-inch.
Oh, yeah. They won't survive in that tiny pot. You'll need to get bigger. Put them into bigger pots. If you pull those pansies out of the little 3-inch probably cell pack they're in now, it's going to be solid roots in that little tiny space. So if you want them
round ones, green ones.
Okay. But if you want, it's probably a 4-inch pot. You still need to move
maybe
them up
are
if you can.
4 or 5-inch.
Yeah. Yeah. They're good for a month or so in that size. But if you want to keep them through the summer, you'd be best to put them in a bigger pot or water them every day. Sunshine now, but as we get hotter in July, move them into the shade.
And they're okay in the pots, they'll grow then?
Yeah, as long as you look after them.
And water them, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Dear, thank you. Happy okay. Mother's Thanks. Day.
Thank you.
You too, Nancy. Thank you so much. I love pansies.
I think know. They're cheerful. They're flowers. They are. Make you smile.
Yeah, they are cheerful.
They're like a face.
One thing that is... come to mind this year that you've mentioned before on the show, and that is that the cooler temperatures are, of course, prolonging the spring flower season, because we've had some years where the warm temperature comes really quick and those flowers come up really quick and they're done.
Yeah.
But this has really prolonged the daffodils and the tulips. Everything is still, we still have things that are not even open yet.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm early spring where I am. I'm surrounded right out my window here by hundreds of blooming orange tulips. Beautiful. And my magnolia is in full bloom. The forsythia is done. That's the only one. Everything else is still either peak or coming. Yeah. Crab apples haven't opened yet. I mean, there's no leaves on the maples are just starting to show a bit of growth, you know. It's coming. I love it. I love this time of year.
We have that magnolia tree. I've sent you pictures before, all covered in the white. That's been for about a week. And and they're starting to drop the petals now. Right. They've started, but I guess they're an early bloomer as well.
Did you get a frost this past week on whatever night it was, Thursday night?
I'm not sure that we did. No, I'm not
we
sure.
We didn't. They were talking about it, but we didn't.
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a beautiful May so far.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree. We have a first-time caller on the line. We have Joanne on the line from Terra, Ontario. Welcome to the Garden Show, Joanne.
Good morning, and welcome to you guys.
Welcome is right.
I want to give you your first time caller garden wings, okay, Joanne?
Okay.
There you go. All yours.
Perfect. I have a very quick question because I know it's near the end of your show. My husband and I got a patch of rhubarb from an existing patch, and we planted it on our farm here. It is doing really well. He went right down, got some down to the roots. So the rhubarb patches are doing really good. We have two patches. And they have rhubarb growing, but I don't think I should harvest any of it the first year. Is that correct? Should I leave it to the second or third year?
Exactly right. Okay. Correct. Do not harvest the first year. Just let it grow and let it settle in and enjoy it. But yeah, you know, you might be able to take a stem or two next year, but then you can really start thinking about harvesting the third year.
Okay. And then what about the seeds? My one girlfriend has a plant too, and she said that later, near the end of it, there'll be like flowers. So do I cut those off or do I leave them?
I cut them off because I don't want it to flower. It just depends what you're not going to use the rhubarb flower. If you're collecting seeds, I guess that would be important. But generally speaking, we're not using those seeds. So I cut the flowers off.
You cut the flowers off.
When they start to, sharp little pruners go in and just cut them off. Allow the leaves to do their thing all summer.
All summer. Okay. And then, so in the late summer, fall, then cut those flower seeds off.
Yeah, cut the flowers off before they go to seed.
I understand. Okay, I understand. Right. Okay, thank you very much. I'll be patient and for a year or two. Thank you so much. And happy Mother's Day.
And you Great. Too. Thanks for
Thank
calling.
Thank you so much, Joanne.
Don't be a stranger.
And incidentally, Joanne is calling from Terra, which is just on the other side, just west of Owen Sound.
Nice. I think we've ever had a call from Tara.
Yeah, so it's Tara. part of our new family out there in the Owen Sound area. So we're
happy and pleased to hear from them.
Absolutely. Got one more quick caller on the line. Let's see if we can do this real quick. Jean from Newmarket called back. Welcome to the Garden Show, Jean.
Charlie, John made my day.
I knew it.
So cool for two professionals like the two of you to talk on the line. Call back, John, please. Thanks, Charlie. Bye.
Thanks, Jean.
Thanks, Jean. Yes, John always makes me smile too. Every time.
I kind of embarrassed him a bit when, as soon as I said hello, I was like, Gene's going to be happy to hear your voice. And then he was all flustered. But he's a very recognizable voice and he's been calling and listening for years. So I always appreciate hearing from people who are, keeping us in the loop of what's going on in their gardens.
Before you say goodbyes, because we are running out of runway, Charlie's email, if you want to send her a picture or something like c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. calm. Okay. Sometimes a picture, of course, is easier to explain a problem to Charlie.
Yeah. And actually just going back to Wilma and her spindle tree, you know, Wilma, yep. See if you can take a photograph of what you're seeing on that tree. Cause I'm confused about fungus on spindle tree. All right, we got to go, but I have really appreciated all your help, Dean and Owen. Couldn't do it without you guys and the great callers. Have a great day tomorrow, all the mothers. See you next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.